It is a privilege to be here. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to Ezra chapter 9. I want to preach to you a little bit this morning on the thought that for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God. For a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God. Now, by a show of hands this morning, how many of you would say, I've heard of a man by the name of William Borden. William Borden, about a century ago, all right? And if you've heard anything, illustrations about this man, you would know that there are three phrases usually attributed to him. And those are phrases he wrote in his Bible and were really a testimony of his stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, no reserves. There is nothing that I will leave on the table. There's not a dollar that is not separated from what is available to God. It is all at His disposal. My time, my energy, my hands, my feet, my words, everything is at His disposal. There's no reserves. He said that there's no retreats. There's no backing down. I'm going to cleave to the Word of God. I'm going to be relentless. I'm going to stand fast in the faith. I'm going to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I will not retreat. Though others retreat, though others conform, I'm going to stand. And he said, there are no regrets. This is a man that died before he ever reached the mission field he believed the Lord was leading him to. Yet he had no regrets because he had lived his life for the glory and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. There was no regrets in his life. Now, his background was one. He was a man that was of incredible wealth. At 16 years old, his family, millionaires, 100 years ago, millionaires sent him on a trip around the world. And they believed that by going around the world, he could see all that the world could afford him, all the luxuries that life could offer because of the wealth that he had. They believed that by going around, he would see the beauty of nature and the wonderful things that were offered by the world. He came back with a heart broken for the need of the gospel around the world. He came back having seen the impoverished, seeing the diseased, seeing the broken and agonized heart of humanity all around the world. And he decided that I want to go reach them with the gospel because the greatest need they have is for the hope through Jesus Christ our Lord. The hope of that grace that he has given to us. And so William Borden enrolled in Yale University, which is not the Yale of today, amen. It was a university that was dedicated to training up pastors and missionaries. And he went in there, and when he got there, everybody noticed, this is a man that has something different going on in his life. This is a man at a young age that's walking with God. And he walked into a university where they were cold spiritually and they were dead spiritually. And he immediately started begging God to allow him to have an influence in that area. And so he started prayer groups and started Bible studies and so forth. And he used his wealth to minister to the poor and to the widows and to the fatherless of society around him, started going in and even staying overnight in those areas to minister to those people. By the time he left Yale University, over 1,000 of the 1,300 students enrolled in that school were a part of these prayer groups and were zealous in their walks with God. And God had done a great work through his life. You know why? For a little space, the grace that was given to him was not going to be used in vain. For a little space, he was going to use all that God had given him for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. He then moved over to Egypt where he could learn Arabic because the Lord was leading him to the Muslim Kansu people of the country of China. There he contracted spinal meningitis and died. You know what? Everything he had was given for the cause of Christ. He had one more statement that was put in his Bible that often isn't mentioned. He said, say no to self and yes to Jesus Christ every time, that there would be nothing left back for his cause. Now, Ezra is a similar situation. If you look at Ezra chapter 9, to give you a brief profile, Ezra is a man that the Bible says was a ready scribe in the law of Moses. In Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, it said Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. He was determined and purposed to use the grace of God that had been given to him for the cause of the glory of the God of Israel. And this is a man in Ezra chapter 9, verse 8. It says, and now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. And he goes on in verse 9 and continues along that vein. And then in verse 10 he says, "Oh God, why have our people turned away from thy commandments?" This is a man that understood the grace that had been shown. Here he is, one of the children of captivity. God did not have to allow them, or that remnant, to escape, but he did. God had turned the king's heart whithersoever he would to allow the children of Israel to return to their land. And in this time, Ezra, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel, and all these over the course of this generation to go back to Israel, to rebuild those walls, to give them a nail in that holy place. He understood the grace of God that was shown. He understood that God had given them the resources needed to go and to rebuild those walls. He understood. He saw God move in a mighty way when they prayed and fasted that God would protect them as they went back to Jerusalem and would keep them along the way on that dangerous journey. And God had done that. He understood, according to this verse, that now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God. This man was a man that once he got there and he was serving God and he was doing what he should have been doing, was made aware of how soon people forget the grace of God that's been shown to them. How soon we forget, how soon we turn back to our old ways, to our sinful ways. He was made aware that many of the children of Israel went in and they turned their back and they went and found women in the heathen land and they married them, which was forbidden. It was an abomination. It shouldn't have happened. And what was his response? In his recognition of the grace that had been showed, in his fear and trembling before a holy God, he pulled the hair out of his own head. In sorrow and in brokenness and in mourning over the sin of the people, he plucked out the hair of his own beard. He rent his garment and he rent his mantle. And he sat astonished, astonied, the Bible says, as in the presence of the people, until people realized just how grave the situation was. And still those who trembled at the word of the Lord started to gather around him and saying, "What should we do? We have angered the holy God of Israel with our sin." And this is the context where he's begging God to do something. Now let me ask you here today, have you had a little space of the amazing grace of God bestowed upon you in here? Every one of us has experienced the amazing grace of God in our lives. Young people, this is the blessing of an assembly like this, that you can come together and you can acknowledge and recognize the amazing grace that has been shown you for this little space of our lives. That you can recognize that. You can be reminded of it. You can relish in it. Amen. Enjoy it and thrive in it and all those things. But we must recognize what that grace has been given to us for. That grace, we've had that saving grace. Psalm 103 said, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." How is it that we're saved? "For by grace are ye saved." Ephesians chapter 1, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace." Amen. "Moreover, the law entered," Romans 5. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." All through Scriptures, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We're here to rejoice in the grace of God that's been shown. But it's not even just the saving grace that's been bestowed upon you. I've had the privilege to travel this world from Mexico to Zambia, Africa, to the Philippines, and so forth, and see just how blessed we are. Just how much grace has been bestowed upon us. Let me ask you this morning, how many of you would stand up and say, "I've lived my life in poverty"? Nobody. How many of us would have begged for food on the street and gone days without a meal? How many of us, like the children in the Philippines, walk around with a little paper bag that's got a hardware store cement in it, and they squeeze a little bit out and they put it in the paper bag and they inhale it because the feeling that it gives makes them think that they're not hungry anymore? How many of us have experienced that? How many of us lay night after night on the cement sidewalks of our cities? We've had grace bestowed upon us. Stand up in here today if we've lived in oppression or imprisonment in a foreign country or under a horrible government that has oppressed us in such a way. Who hasn't been able to find medication or care from a doctor when they've needed it in here? How many of us suffer from bellies that stick out from malnutrition? No, the opposite is true, amen. We suffer from bellies that stick out from overabundance, don't we? We have had shelter, clothing, food, freedom, safety, family, friends, and wealth unlike anything that most of the population of this world can't even fathom, can't even understand. And not only that, but many of you in this room have an additional grace, and that is you're being raised in a godly heritage. So many of you have the privilege to being raised in a godly home, being brought to church where the Word of God is faithfully preached to you. You've got pastors and teachers and youth pastors that are lifting up your name before the throne of grace, that you might have God work in your lives, that you might so be used that God would be glorified in and through you to reach this world for His honor and glory. What a privilege that you have to have the perfect preserved Word of God in the King James Bible sitting on your lap this morning. I'm a little passionate about this because I spent years of my life having that grace bestowed, having that opportunity given to me, yet wasting many years of my life, and I would to God that none of you would do that. Would to God that none of you would waste those years, but recognize the incredible grace of God that's been bestowed upon you and do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Paul say with that grace of God given to him was for? He said in Romans chapter 1, verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for what? For the obedience of the faith to all nations. And he said, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? The grace is bestowed that we might go and reach this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3, 7, he said, whereof I was made a minister according to the great gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. He said, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, was this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. What a privilege that we have to take the gospel around the world. Paul and Ezra and William Borden and God Himself through the pages of Scripture are crying out for us to recognize and appreciate the grace of God, and that it would motivate us to go do something for His glory, because nothing else is important in this life. In 2 Corinthians 6, 1, they cry out, they say, we then as workers together with Him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Don't waste the grace. For a little space, grace hath been bestowed upon you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me is not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He labored more abundantly. I ask you, where are you going to labor more abundantly? To whom are you going to labor more abundantly? Or will you allow the grace of God to go in vain? You have too much potential to offer the kingdom of God to let it go to waste in this world. You have too much potential. What could God do with the people in this room if you would fully submit, no reserves, no retreats, and no regrets to His honor and to His glory? In Acts chapter 20, Paul said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord to preach the gospel of the grace of God, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Would to God that 20 years from now, you young people could look upon Youth Ablaze 2010 and say, look what God did in my life. I made a commitment to the Lord at that time. He shone forth His abundant grace. He made me realize that it was for a little space that it was bestowed upon me. I have a short time in which I can actually do something for the God that has given me life and blessing and salvation. And that 20 years from now, you can look back and say, that was a catalyst. It changed my life. That God worked in my heart, and then I'll never be the same. And now I'm out doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a life that'll be without regret. That is a life that you can do something with. Listen, be like Ezra. Recognize the incredible grace of God that's bestowed upon you. Be like Ezra and tremble before the holy Word of God. God says in Isaiah 66, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. See that there's a little space in which to avail of that grace. Be like Ezra. Prepare your heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel the statutes and judgments as he did. And then allow God to use you in powerful ways to impact this world. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege, God, to open up your word this morning. Thank you, God, for the wonderful grace of our blessed Redeemer that's been shown to us, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity, God, that we have to come here, Lord. God, the freedom and the blessing and the provision and the food and your word and all these things, God, that you have so abundantly blessed us with. God, would you help us, Lord, to desire to be used by you in mighty ways, God. Lord, understanding that we need your grace in which to do it, but God, that we would have no desire to let that grace be bestowed upon us in vain. Lord, to whom much is given, much is required, and I pray that you'd impress that upon us here. And God, would you have your will and your way done this week? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.